We linked up with Major Snyder. We're going to go ahead and push in. We go with the ANA commander. Seems to be a bit of issue in the town. Break.
I personally have done this multiple times. Almost every deployment that I've been part of, and I've over 78 months deployed, this is different. This is specifically, the SFAB is specifically resourced in terms of both personnel and equipment to accomplish that specific mission. So it's no longer ad hoc. We are trained with respect to advisory skills as well as force protection skills in order to accomplish the mission. And the people that are doing it are the people that have volunteered to do it and want to do and believe in this mission. That's the difference.
The mission statement is something I absolutely believe in. And I think it's something that is needed as far as the Army having a dedicated unit to do the advise and assist mission. And so I volunteered for it.
So the SFAB, as a mission statement, is to take our conventional forces, apply them against a long-term problem of improving partner capacity in our foreign partners. And so in the SFAB, you'll do what you've been doing as a conventional force soldier, but you'll be focusing on providing your skills to your foreign partner. It's a great opportunity. One, you're gonna be surrounded by other folks just like you that are wanting to do your job, that are masters at their profession, and focused on the task at hand with minimal distractions. You're gonna be going to environments where they're gonna wanna hear what you got. They're gonna wanna be like you. And so it's a great opportunity to kind of grow as a soldier and grow as a person. Our manner of performance, our measure of performance, if you will, is how well our partners do in combat or in Afghanistan. It starts with warfighting competence. So every one of the folks we hire into this organization are experts in their field. And so if you're a fire supporter, you're a good fire supporter already. But what we rely on is within that person already is the ability to, as you said, display empathy, to have some patience, to have flexibility, to be able to communicate complex ideas within a cultural environment to make sure it resonates with their partner. And then with that technical competence and that kernel of personal attributes, you then build on that through training. And the training we emphasize talks about how to communicate, how to influence, how to negotiate. Because in a lot of ways, working with your partner is a day-to-day negotiation.
The amount of realism and level of detail, down to the smell. I mean, literally, there were times I thought I was actually in Afghanistan. Whether it be you're in a local village, you're conducting a shura with key leaders, the storylines that went behind it, to include the role players. That honestly, if there's one huge takeaway I'd say about the training and resources at JROTC, it'd be the role players.
As far as teaching, coaching, and mentoring as a non-commissioned officer, it's in my blood. I think as far as the tactical piece, the maneuver piece, especially as an infantryman, I'm pretty good with doing that stuff. The intellectual piece, however, that comes with advising a host nation security force or the individual that I'm advising, is really the next piece.
I've been in the Army 10 years and I've been on the line the entire time, so I feel like just my experience of how I dealt with being in Afghanistan and what things I can possibly change when I was used to helping train, I feel like I have a bigger, I'll be able to play a bigger role here to actually affect that and see it.
You talked about the art of advising, and we always talk about the science and how we use culture in our advantage by acknowledging our differences, but also finding commonalities and ways we can move forward together.
I totally trust my soldiers. We have hired the best. We've resourced them for the mission that they've been assigned. We've trained them against the hardest aspects of their mission.